In Parshas Truma, we have the mitzvah of building the Mishkan and, of course, creating the Kelim. And one of the Kelim in the Mishkan, which is a very important Kelim, I can't overestimate it's important, is the Aron, which housed the Luchos HaBris, the Luchos HaEdus. So we're looking now in Truma, in Parshas Truma, Perek Chaf Hei, Psukim Yud and Yud Aleph, the Asu Aron Atzei Shitim, and the Torah tells you exactly what the size of the Aron has to be, the dimensions of the Aron, and it says that it's got to be Amasayim V'Chetzi Arko, Ama V'Chetzi Rachbo, Ama V'Chetzi Komaso. Vitzipisos so zahav tahar mi bais umichutz tetzapena viasisa alav zer zahav saviv. So the various kelim that need a zer zahav, and one of them is the aron. And the aron on the one end is made of atzei shitim, and yet there is a tzipui of zahav. So we're going to see that the aron is a very complicated keli. It has like a box in a box in a box. But the Ramban is interested in a different diuk in the language. It says here v'asu aron, and the word v'asu is in plural. Says the Ramban yachzor el bnei Yisrael, and this is a continuation of what it says before. Now, it's from the beginning of Parshas Truman on, it always uses the plural form to indicate that this is a common responsibility. But then afterwards, in the very next pasuk, it says v'tzipisa osa. V'tzipisa is lashon yachid. Ki Moshe keneged kol Yisrael. And the first answer that the Ramban offers, and then he goes into a more complicated answer, is that Moshe Rabbeinu is the representative of Klal Yisrael. So first, the Torah has to establish that this mitzvah is incumbent upon Bnei Yisrael as a community, but then in terms of who's actually going to oversee the work, supervise it and implement it, that's Moshe Rabbeinu representing the Tzibur. And there when the Torah is addressing Moshe Rabbeinu in the Vitzipisa, it says it in Lashon Zohar. That's Ramban's first approach. V'tochen, Ramban offers another pshat, which is a lot more profound in terms of its inspiration, its message. V'tochen sheyirmos sheyu kol Yisrael mishtatvim v'asiyas ha'aron. That the plural form here of the asu is meant to allude to the fact that the aron is not something that's designated for one individual or another, but rather for all of Klal Yisrael. And kol Yisrael mishtatvim v'asiyas ha'aron. Everyone should be take part in the building of the aron. And why is that? Why is it so important that the Aron be made up of all these partners, of all of Klal Yisrael? Bavur Shehu Kadosh Mishkenei Elyon. Because this is where the Shekhinah is going to be Shoreh. This is between the Kruvim that on top of the Aron. And the Aron itself represents the Torah, which is the greatest gift and the highest level that a Klal Yisrael could achieve by being Dovek B'Torah. V'sheyizku kulam v'Torah. V'chein omru b'medrash rava v'pnei ma b'chol ha'kelim katuv, it says v'yasisa in Lashon Yachid v'aron k'siv v'asu aron. Omer Rav Yehuda v'Rav Shalom Omer HaKadosh Baruch v'yavo ha'kol v'yisasku v'aron. They should all be involved in the building of the aron. Could be that the monies that were earmarked for the Aron had to be collected from Klal Yisrael as a whole. I don't know. But he says, Yisasku b'Aron. And why? So the Medrash points out, Sheyizku l'Torah. This means that every Jew has to have a part in Torah. V'ha'esek, and what does it mean, Sheyisasku? What does it mean that everyone together should be osek in the Aron? Sheyisnadev kol echad klizav. That each and every one of Klal Yisrael should somehow find something that is made up of gold, and they would melt down the gold and form the Aron or the Tzipui HaAron, so that the gold of the Aron was coming from everyone, because everyone came forward and contributed a Kli Zav, Echad, at least one, Li Aron. So that's the first possibility that the Ramban offers to explain this medrash, that everyone should be osek in the aron. And now the premise is that everyone has a kli zav. I guess this takes us back to Parshas Bo, if you remember, where the Noshim Yisraelios borrowed from the Noshim Mitzrios klei kesem, klei zav. So I guess there was an abundance of zav, when there was also bizas hayam. Oh, yazar libitzalel ezer ma'at. Wow, this is a pretty amazing kind of concept, that Bitzal, everybody, I guess, waited online and in some way helped Bitzal. Again, in the orchestration of this, I don't see it. But perhaps the easiest way of understanding this is the Ramban's third possibility, and that is Oshiechavnu Lidovar. It's all a mental state, that everyone should be mentally involved and intend to take a part. It doesn't mean in the physical world, but rather in the phenomenological world, you know, up in Kavanos, in the conscious mind of the individuals. But whatever pshat you take, whether it's Kleizov, whether it's Ezer, Ma'at, whether it's Kavana, it means that the Aron is a representative of all of Klal Yisrael, and that's because the Shechina is Shoreh Mishkani Elyon on the Aron. The Aron has a special, unique kedusha of Mishkani Elyon, and it represents, of course, the Torah itself. At this point, we want to ask the following question: that why is it that, according to the Ramban, the pasuk is divided in this particular way? First, we have the Asu, and then we have Vitzipisa. Apparently, the Zav component is Vitzipisa, correct? Because the Asu represents the building of the Aron in general. So then, when it says V'asu, it means, according to Ramban, in the second pshat, Yitochen, that Kol Yisrael Mishtatfim Basiyas Aron, right? That's the Loshen Rabin, the plural of V'asu. Then we read the next pasuk when we get to Vitzipisa, and all of a sudden it drops to a Lashon Yachid. See, in the Ramban's first pshat, the Vitzipisa reduces or restricts the Lashon Rabim of Vyasu to Lashon Yachid, because now Moshe Rabbeinu has to step up to the plate and implement this obligation to build the Aron, or at least to supervise, you know, Bitzal's building of the Aron. And in that sense, Moshe is the Yachid representing the Tzibur. But the Ramban in his second pshat never comes back to his original question, and that is why the shift, the transition from the Asu in Lashon Rabim to Vitzipisa in Lashon Yochid. So that's one question that we have to try to see if we can address. Now we're going to fast forward from Truma to Vayakel, meaning you really can't learn Pashas Truma and get a full picture without taking into consideration the app, right? Truma is the parasha of the tzivui, the mitzvah, but now we have the implementation, which is recorded in both Vayakel and Pekudei at the end of Sefer Shmos. So let's take a look at the way this Aron was actually built. And it says, Vayas Bitzalel es ha'aron atzei shitim, etc., etc., Vayitzapeu zav tar mibachu mibayis umibachutz, Vayaslo zer zav saviv, Vayitzoklo arba taba'os ahav al arba pamonosav. And finally, after the entire endeavor or project of building the Aron, the Torah says, Vayas bade atzei shitim. These are what's called the bade ha'aron. And the badim were those loops made of wood that were also coated with gold, just like the Aron. And now the Torah tells you exactly what was the function of the badim. What were these loops all about?
The poles,
right. The poles that go into the loops. Vayavo es habadim. I'm sorry, Vayaveh, I think it should say. Vayaveh es habadim b'taba'os. So the taba'os are these loops, I guess you could say, and the badim are the poles. And the poles now are inserted into the loops. And the Torah actually specifies what the purpose is. Laseis es ha'aron. So if I would ask you the following question, just give me a knee-jerk response, you know, not too brilliant. And that is, would you say that there would be any purpose whatsoever in putting the poles, the bottom, into the matabos if, let's say, we weren't carrying the aron? Let's say right now the aron is in a stationary position. It would be pointless, right? Because again, the Torah goes out of its way to tell you what the purpose of the bottom and the tobas is. Lasei sesar. Okay, so let's leave that pasuk for the time being, and let's look at the pasuk in Pekudei. Here, the pasuk in Pekudei says the following: Vayikach vayitein es ha'edus el ha'aron. So now the edus, which means the luchos habris, were placed into the aron. Vayosem es habadim al ha'aron. And now the poles are connected to the aron. And then it says, Vayitain es hakapores al ha'aron milamala. And then the kapores, which was the covering of the aron, was set up on top of it. So he asks the following question. In Vayakel, it says that the purpose of the badim was losses es ha'aron. And yet, we have an isur, lo sosur mimenu, okay? Which means that you're not allowed to remove the badim from the aron. They have to be permanently slipped through the tabos. And that implies lo tosur, that even if they're not being used right now, currently, to transport the aron, nevertheless they have to be there. But yet, clearly the pasuk in Vayakel says that the purpose was losei ses aron. He doesn't have the pasuk here of lo yosir. Maybe we'll get a chance to look it up later. Now, furthermore, when Bezalel in Parshas Vayakel brings the badim into the tabos, it's very strange. It would seem that at this point the badim are inside the tabos. And yet, very strange, because back in Vayakel it says that there's an iser of lo yosur es habadim, which would sound like the badim were already in the aron, attached to the aron. Are you following his question now? There's sort of like a chronological difficulty in the pasuk lo yosir, that the Torah prohibits removing the badim, because you get the impression that in Parshas Vayakel it would seem. Does anybody have a chumash here by any chance? I forgot to bring in a chumash. Okay, we'll have to assume that somewhere between pasuk chaf and the pesukim that came before it, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned. Oh, this is a problem.
Ready, John?
If you could find a chumash quickly and on your way, Joel, if you could open up to Perek Mem of Sefer Shmos, just to save time. So let's assume that hopefully the chumash will bear me out on this. I just did, I started the shiur without a chumash, which is a major, major blunder. Okay, Shkoy, thanks. We'll close the door behind you. Okay, so we're looking in Perek Mem. And let's just see what goes on over here. Okay. Now, in Perek Mem, starting with Pasuk Yud Zayin, which is the parasha right before this one that's here in number 5 on your page, there are a few psukim right before that, from Pasuk Yud Zayin until Pasuk Yutes. So there are 3 psukim here. And that unit describes Moshe Rabbeinu setting up the Mishkan. It says, Vayehi b'chodesh ha-rishon, v'shon ha-shenis, this is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and it says, Hu kama Mishkan. And then it says, Vayokem Moshe es ha-mishkan. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do at this point in time? So the Torah goes through a whole list of details of what he does. First it says, Vayitein es adonov. Then it says, Vayosem es kroshov, es brichov. I'm just summarizing here. And then he says, Vayifros es ha-oel. And all that leads us to Pasuk Chaf. And Pasuk Chaf says, Vayikach, Vayitein es ha'edus el ha'aron. Fine. So Moshe Rabbeinu places the edus into the aron. And then it says, Vayosem es ha'badim al ha'aron. And finally, Vayitein es ha'kapores al ha'aron milamala. So the sequence here is that Moshe Rabbeinu places the Edus into the Aron, then he places the Badim, attaches it to the Aron, and then finally the Kaparis on top. But wait a second, back in Parshas Pekudei, we already see that the Torah testifies that Bezalel was the one who had already placed the Badim onto the Aron. And for, right? Now, it's possible that the reason why there was a shift here, so to speak, between the Maisa of Bezalel that came first and then the Maisa of Moshe that came second is that there was a separate Sivui that Moshe would have to be making as a Mishkan. So what do? They put the Badim and attached them to the Aron. That's what Bezalel did. That was his mitzvah. And then they took the Badim out of the Aron, because otherwise, why is the Torah testifying here in Parshas Pekudei that Moshe Rabbeinu places the Aron, places the Badim into the Aron? So now we have a problem, because in between these two actions, you know, one of Bezalel and the other of Moshe, we have an Iser of Lo Sosur, of Lo Yosur, which means that you're not allowed to take the Badim out of the Aron. So Bezalel already brought the Badim into the Aron, attaching the Badim into the Tabos of the Aron. That happened back in Parshas Vayakel. How then could they violate the Iser of removing the Badim in order to facilitate Moshe Rabbeinu's Hakomas HaMishkan? We have a separate law in the Torah that enjoins us from removing the Badim from the Aron. So we have two questions now, actually three questions. Question back and up here on the Ramban. Well, so Ramban never comes back to explain Vitzi Piso So Zov. Why is that written in Lashon Yochid? But the two questions we're asking now with regard to the Badim is, number one, why does the Torah prohibit us from removing the Badim from the Aron? There are certain moments in time when the Aron is stationary, we're not moving it. And the Torah says explicitly that Hashem commanded Bezalel to bring the Badim into the Aron and so forth and so on. Lasei says Aron, only for the purpose of carrying the Aron. And this, and the last question that we're asking is, how do we understand the, in a sense, discrepancy between the story told in Parshas Vayakel and that in Parshas Pekudei, if in between, after in Parshas Vayakel, Bezalel brought the Badim into the Tabos, and then in Parshas Pekudei Moshe, what do we remove it in between? What about the Isur of Lo Yosef? Okay. So leaving all these questions on the side, now we want to get to another fundamental question. We know that the Luchos HaEdus were temporarily lost. And that happened after the period of Bais Rishon. And the Luchos will only be restored at the time by Shlishi. So the question is, what's the status of the Aron in Bayis Sheni? Because it doesn't have the Luchos. And basically the Chakira that we're raising is the following. How do we define the Aron? Is the Aron only a facilitator? It's only there to house and protect the Luchos? Or no? The Aron has a function unto itself. It has its own status, even independent of the Luchos. If we take the second approach, then we would expect that during Bayis Sheni there would have been an Aron, even though the Luchos were lost, but they could certainly create the Aron. I mean, the Torah gives us all the details about how to create the Aron and the mitzvah to create the Aron. And yet, if you take a look at the Gemara in Yuma, the Gemara has five things that were lacking in the second Bayis that exist in the first Bayis, and the first one on the list of five is the Aron. So the Rashash in Yuma asks the following question. You'll see this on the top left column. He says, the Mishnah says that the Aron was not there in the Bayis Sheni. Koshali, Madua lo osu Aron, Acher, Acher, the Bayis Sheni. In other words, even if the first Aron of the first bayis, which housed the Luchos, was lost, and it was put into Gniza, that doesn't exempt them, says the Rashash, from rebuilding an Aron to replace the first Aron. Because the mitzvah, presumably, of building an Aron is a mitzvah l'doros. We're going to see if it's counted in the Taryag or not. That's going to be a major pluta between the Rambam and the Ramban. But at least according to one school of thought, the Ramban school of thought, there's a mitzvah building the Aron that's counted in Taryag. Now, any mitzvah that's counted in Taryag is what we call a mitzvah l'doros. Now, it could be that we don't have access to the Luchos Ha'edus, but nevertheless, we still have to build an Aron. So the Rashash his kash is predicated on the premise that there's an eternal, continuous mitzvah to build the Aron, and yet the Gemara says in Yuma that there was no Aron during Bayis Sheni. And the Rashash doesn't want to say that when the Gemara says that the Aron was missing, it means that the Aron was there without the Luchos, but that there simply was no Aron in Bayis Sheni. So that's the kasha of the Rashash. So we have now another kasha to add to our list of kashas. Now we have the Minchas Chinuch. And the Minchas Chinuch quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Per Gimel, and the Rambam tells us exactly what the Tzuras HaMenorah is, what's the Tzuras HaShulchan, what's the Tzuras HaMizbeach, all the dimensions, all the materials, all the requirements. He tells us about the Tzuras HaKiyar. Basically, in a word, the Rambam dedicates an entire chapter to the Klei HaMikdash to tell you exactly what the Kelim are, how to make them. And the Rambam omits one particular Kli, and you guessed it, it's the Aron. The Rambam doesn't say a word about the Aron. What are the dimensions of the Aron? How to build it? What about the Zahav and the Tzipui Zahav? What about the Atzei Shittim? All this is completely omitted. So he says the following. Pashut is on the third line. The kol elu akelim hayu kol pam acherim. In other words, there were kelim that were used in Bayis Rishon. They were taken away by the Bavliim, and then when we got back in the time, of course, the ability to build the Bayis Sheni, we had to build a whole new set of kelim. So basically, throughout Jewish history, we have to know the halachas and the requirements of building these kelim. So in Bayis Sheni, they didn't have Kalim from the Bayis Rishon. They had to make a new set of Kalim, even within Bayis Sheni itself. At the time of the Avonim, which is more or less the middle of Bayis Sheni, at that point they were metame all the Kalim, and many of them were lost. The Chashmonaim had to replace the Kalim. So they had to, for example, create a menorah, which replaced the original menorah. And that's a sugya menachas. If I remember correctly, I'm not learning menachas now, so don't quote me on this, but I think the Gemara says that the menorah in Bayis Sheni was very different than the menorah in Bayis Rishon. They were very poor at the time in Bayis Sheni. They couldn't afford a menorah zav. There was a menorah shalates. In any event, there was definitely a need for the Rambam to codify the laws of Kalim, which are relevant during the entire Jewish history. And not only that, the Minchas Chinuch says with a prayer to Hashem that we should rebuild the third Beis HaMikdash, if we get the permission to do so from the nations of the world, but don't rely on the United Nations, but anyway, if we get such permission, then again we'll have to know the dimensions and the tzuras of all the kelim. And that's what the Medrash tells us, that Bimei Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, in fact, at the time of one of the Tanoim, they actually had the okay and they began to build the Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, that endeavor did not reach its fruition. We have a super commentary on the Sefta Sukkah, which is called the Kapos Tmarim. I think his name was Chagiz, maybe 5 centuries ago. It's an old Sefer. And he writes in the name of one of the Bali Atosvis that he wanted to go up to Yerushalayim to bring Karbonos. Now, if you bring Karbonos in Yerushalayim, then you certainly have to know which Kalim, how to make the Kalim, and the Mizbeach, and everything else. So you have to build the Beis HaMikdash, and the Rambam is going to give you all the details. The Rambam himself does not agree, apparently, that you could bring Karbonos in our time. But nevertheless, he still knows that Bizman by Shlishi will have to know how to build the Kalim and the Mizbeach. Aval Aron, perhaps you could say the following. that with regard to the Aron, there's no need, there's no purpose in the Rambam codifying the laws of how to build the Aron. Why? Because once they were Nignizu, the Eidus, the Luchos Eidus, were put into Gniza, as we don't know where they are. The Lo Yisra'u Od will never see the Luchos again, right? No matter what Spielberg says, but we won't see them. Ad Bias, I guess no, nobody here saw the Raiders of the Lost Ark, so that's okay, you don't go to the movies. Is Kevan Shenignizu Ha'edus, the Lo Yisra'u Od Al Bias Ha'goel, and he adds a tefillah, is therefore there would never be a situation in which they would have to, they would resort to building the Aron. Why? Because we have to wait until we get the Eidus back. And when we get the Eidus back, then we're going to get back the original Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu built at the time of the Mishkan. Is Yizgalu Aluchos Veha Aron. So basically, Rabbo said, whatever was in the Aron, and the Aron itself, of course, at the time of the Mishkan, is exactly what we're going to have. Those exact, you know, we're not talking about a duplicate. We're not talking about a what's called the what are the artists? They sell the
copy.
The copies, yeah. But what are they called?
Forgery?
No, not the forgery. I mean, you get a signed copy. They make hundreds of them. What's that called? Okay, forget it. Anyway, it's going to be the original. So the Minchas Chinuch is not satisfied with this approach. Again, just to summarize, L'chor, we have a very simple answer. Why did the Rambam omit the details of how to build the Mishkan and the Midos and so forth? Because, well, you know, until we get the Aron, we have no need to know the you know, the Midos of the Aron, and we're going to get the Aron, the original Aron of Moshe Rabbeinu with the Eidus. But he says the following. As a general rule, the Torah doesn't rely on what's going to happen at the end of time. You know, the Nisim v'Niflos at the time of the ultimate redemption. And therefore, as long as the mitzvah l'doros, the halacha has to be codified. For example, the Rambam codifies the mitzvah of Nesias ha'oron ala kotef in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He also codifies the lav of Lo Yosir with regard to the Badim. So the first one was in Mitzvah Se Lav Dalet, the second is Lo Sase Pei Vav. The Afshalo Yu Advar Ma'at Bias Goel. Even though the Iser of Asar Sabadim, or the Mitzvah of carrying the Aron, is not going to be relevant until the Goel comes. Ki Ato, because now Ein Aron Bavonoseinu Arab, we have no Aron. So how can you possibly violate a law with regard to the Aron, or be guilty of a derelict, I should say, of not fulfilling a mitzvah, carrying the Aron properly? There is no Aron. But the answer is that even if the only Aron that we'll have is Bizman HaMashiach, the Rambam still has to codify the mitzvah and give us all the details, because it's a mitzvah l'doros. Meaning, it's not that because we don't have the Aron, there is no mitzvah building the Aron. That's not true. There's a technicality here. We don't have the Eidus, we don't have the Aron, but the mitzvah still exists, and it'll only reappear on the horizon at the time of Mashiach. But nevertheless, the Rambam codifies all these Dinim and all these mitzvahs, and gained Dinia Aron, also the laws of how to create the Aron, which were knowing at the time of Bayis Rishon. For example, let's say during Bayis Rishon, if the Aron was broken, right? So even though that could actually never happen, because we have a divine guarantee, a promise that the Aron will never be smashed, but we don't rely on Nisim, and we still have a mitzvah of how to construct the Aron. The Gamli Yosid Lavo. What will be at the time of Bayis Shlishi, if let's say the Aron breaks, we'll have a mitzvah to create an Aron in order to house the Luchos Eidus. So B'kitzur, we have to know how to build an Aron. And even at the time of Bayis Rishon, they would have to know how to construct an Aron in case it might break. And certainly during Bayis Shlishi. In fact, he quotes a parsha in Shmuel, in Tanakh, at the time of Eli, it says that the Aron was taken captured by the Plishtim for 7 months of time. And he says that we would have to know during that period of time how to replace the Aron. Mevur Bagoda. I don't know, he has Agoda Shmuel. I guess that's the Medrash on Shmuel. The Shaul Chotaf Aluchos Miad Golios HaPlishti. Shaul was able to grab the Luchos, but they still didn't have the Aron. The Aron was still in the hands of the Plishtim. It was only later on in time, David HaMelech, that they freed the Aron itself. In Kei Vareya Yitzarech Oz Lassos Aron. Imagine they have the Luchos, but they don't have the Aron. Again, a short period of time, but nevertheless at that point, they would have a responsibility and obligation to build the Aron in order to house the Luchos. And at the time of Mashiach, maybe there'll be some kilkul, something will happen to the Aron. And even if we know Al Piderech HaNes, because God promised us that that won't happen, but we still have to know the laws. Furthermore, he says, the Rambam in the first Perek of Klei HaMikdash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu made the Shemen HaMishcha. How did he do so? What were the ingredients in the Shemen HaMishcha? Even though Chazal tell us, and the Rambam codifies this, that Me'olam lo nasa Shemen HaMishcha, the only Shemen HaMishcha that was ever made in all of Jewish history, was that of Moshe Rabbeinu. And in the Liyasid Lava, we'll have to know how to make the Shemen HaMishcha. And therefore the Rambam counts Shemen HaMishcha, Perek Aleph Mikli HaMikdash, with all the details about how to create the Shemen HaMishcha. So, first of all, how do we know that we'll have Shemen HaMishcha in the Bias Mashiach, in the Bias Shlishi? Because the Torah says, that's also, I think, in this week's parasha, no, next week's parasha, that Shemen L'Doro Seichem, when we call Makom, nevertheless, the Rambam tells us the Toar Asiyos, all the details of how to produce the Shemen HaMishcha. And in the case of the Aron, we don't even have a Havtacha that the Aron will always exist, and that the Luchos will always be in the Aron. And in fact, in Eli, as time we said before, they would have the Luchos without the Aron without the Luchos. And Cain, we have to know exactly what the Tzuras Aron is, like all the other Kalim. He says maybe you can get away with Shemen HaMishcha because the Torah has a law that you're not allowed to make on a personal level, homemade Shemen HaMishcha. That's a Chiv Karis, if I'm not mistaken. But he's not impressed with that. So he says, perhaps, the Efsha, this is the last three lines, the Aron im Kruvim hu Kli Echad, the Imkein Kruvim Belav Hachi Osor Lasos. So he says, if you want to use the same logic here that we might apply to Shemen HaMishcha, and say that the reason why the Rambam had to detail the ingredients and the creation of the Shemen HaMishcha is because there's a law not to create a duplicate. Well, the Kruvim also, there's a separate law that we're not allowed to create the Kruvim. It's almost like Avodah Zarah to create the Kruvim. Kimavur b'mitzvah slotasu niti. The Aron below Kruvim ein Isur. The Efshar de Mutar. So you might argue that in the case of the Kruvim, like the Shemen HaMishcha, the Rambam felt compelled to give us the ingredients and the how-to, the guide how-to, because of the law of creating one in a person, in his own backyard. But in the case of the Aron, if you isolate the Aron without the Kruvim and you make a substitute Aron, that's not a prohibition. And maybe therefore the Rambam didn't have any reason compelling him. But if it's Tzarech Iyun, basically at the end of this whole long presentation, we can summarize it all in two sentences. The Minchas Chinuch in two sentences. This whole presentation. He doesn't understand why the Rambam doesn't codify the laws of building the Mishkan, of building the Aron, as he did with regard to all the other Kalim. And if you'll say, well, ultimately God promised us we'll get back the Aron of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Luchos of the Aron, but that doesn't in any way impinge on what the Rambam's responsibility is, what the Rambam accepted upon himself as his goal, to outline all the details about how to fulfill this mitzvah. And this mitzvah is a mitzvah l'doros. Take a look at the Ramban in his Hasagos on Sefer HaMitzvos. The Ramban says that we're not going to count the mitzvah of building the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mizbeach, right? Because each one of these three Kalim has a goal. It serves for a mitzvah. For example, in the case of the Shulchan, for the Lechem Aponim, correct? In the case of the Mizbeah for the Hekshar Avodah, in the case of Menorah for the Mitzvah Adlaka. So in each case of these three cases, the mitzvahs create a kli and then use the kli to accomplish a certain goal. And therefore we don't have to count the building of the kli as a separate mitzvah. Fine. And he calls this Tashvishei Kedusha, meaning it's only a facilitator, it's a means to an end. He says, but v'lo huchshar b'yene atam shekosebo arav sha'omar shehem chelek michelke amigdash. The Rambam omits counting the mitzvah of building a shulchan, a menorah, and a mizbeach for a different reason. The Rambam justifies his omission by the fact that these are part and parcel of the mitzvah of building the Migdash. So when we count the mitzvah of building the Migdash as a mitzvah, we don't have to count separately each individual detail or item in building the Mishkan. He says, the Ramban, I cannot accept this, because if you're talking about the different parts of the Mishkan that make up the structure, that I can accept. That's all one unified mitzvah. But if you're talking about the Kalim, ain't not Kalim Chelik min Abayis, they're not an integral part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Avalheim Shtayim Mitzvah She'ena Ma'akva Zu Ezu. In other words, it's a separate independent mitzvah of building the Kalim, even if there is no Mikdash. And for example, we have Alocha Makrivim Babayis Afal Pishen Bo Kalim Elu. On the other hand, the mitzvah of Hakrova can be fulfilled even without the Kalim. So you see that these are all independent mitzvahs. Lachain etzli asias ha'oron vakapores losum shama edus timna mitzvah bifnei atzma. He says the Rambam was at fault. He was guilty of omitting the mitzvah of asias ha'oron in the case of the other kelim, which serve as part of the avoda. So we're going to count the mitzvah of the avoda, and we're going to omit the mitzvah of building the kelim, because the mitzvah of kelim was only to facilitate the avoda. But in the case of Aaron, there's a separate independent mitzvah of the Aaron. It's not part of the avoda. Oh, he says, maybe you'll argue against me. We have to omit, we cannot count the mitzvah of asiyas on why. The altatsha, don't tell me to lomar to say, shalom nimna, we shouldn't count the mitzvah of building the Aaron. Shalom itztavenu lidoros, because that maybe this mitzvah is not incumbent upon the Jewish people for all generations. Why? Because the whole purpose of the Aron is to house the luchos, and the luchos were lost during Bayis Sheni. Shalohoya Aron shenignaz mehem. So the Aron was lost, and therefore we didn't have the luchos haedus. Okidirei Omer shegolol above v'loso Aron acher. They never replaced the Aron. So if you're going to argue that the reason why the Rambam omits the mitzvah of building the Aron in the Minyan HaTaryak is because it's not a mitzvah of Doros, because unless you have the Luchos, you don't have a mitzvah of the Aron, and the Luchos were lost in Geniza, he says that's impossible. You cannot maintain that position. Sharei kvar mona harav, the Rambam mitzvah say lamidal counts, masoel akotev. You remember we discussed this before. Also the Solav of Lo Yosir. And why is that? Lefisha mitzvah hi kayemes lonu lidoros. That's a mitzvah for all generations. Ve'aron im luchos abris kayem lonu liolam. And this is a mitzvah that will be able to fill at the end of time. Right now we don't know where, we don't have access to the luchos and to the aron, but the mitzvah is still there. We may not be able to fulfill the mitzvah. Our hands, so to speak, are tied. This mitzvah of carrying the Aron is not limited in time. It's predicated on a condition. It's conditional or contingent. Kol zman sheyimtzo lanu, that whenever we have an access to the Aron, is mitzuvim linso bekotev. But that's enough to count it as a mitzvah. And if the Rambam counts the Siyas Aron al kotev as a mitzvah. And therefore, since ultimately we'll have this mitzvah restored to us, it's a mitzvah in Doros, it should be counted in the Taryak. And you can't give the answer that we gave about the Shulchan Menorah Mizbeach. V'yod, shuasat ligolos, And now he prays on behalf of the restoration of the Mikdash. Ukamosha Mona Rambam Masa Ha'aron came to him as Timna Sias Asiyoso Mitzvah. If the Rambam counts carrying the Aron, then he should certainly count building the Aron. Michal Mitzvah Se Lufisha Yoso Mitzvah Kayemis Lonu. The od sheim nale al da'atenu chas v'shalom she oved o she shover, and if heaven forbid at some point the aron will be lost or it will be broken, mitzvah lasoso, we have to replace it kimido rishona and duplicate the original midos of the aron, and the purpose is lasim sham luchos ha'edus ki v'kaf nitztavenu, we were commanded to build the Aron to house the Luchos Eidus. V'hine mikol makom mitzvah yuchedes v'nei atzmei nehechshev mitzvah acheres kiminorim mizbeach v'shulchan. So Ramban rests his case against the Rambam. He doesn't understand why the Rambam omits the mitzvah of building the Aron, which is a mitzvah l'doros. It could be that today we don't have access to the Luchos Eidus, and therefore we don't have the mitzvah of building the Aron, but nevertheless that's only because it's inaccessible right now. That's just a technicality. So the contingency is not fulfilled, and therefore we don't fulfill the mitzvah, but the obligation is there. It's lurking in the shadows. We just need the befall of getting access to the Aron. And what would be if the Aron got broken or it got lost? We would have a mitzvah l'dorei doros to replace the Aron. So why doesn't the Rambam count that as part of the Tayyad? And don't tell me it's a hechsher mitzvah, like the case of menorah, mizbeach, and shulchan, because it's not a hechsher mitzvah. So you know that there's a super commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Joel, you want to say something?
No.
Oh. And that's the Megillus Esther. And he says, Umasha Omar Od Kigama Sias Haoron Yesh Lahavi B'minyan. And that which Ramban claims in his critique against the Rambam, what happened to Sias Haoron? Nira Li Ki HaMitzvah Einon Oheges L'doros L'fishali Olam Lo Nitztarech Lasos Acheres. In other words, the Megillus Esther, as opposed to what we saw in the Minchas Chinuch, is willing to rely on the divine guarantee that we know, and this is part of our tradition, that at the end of time, at the time of the redemption, the original Aron and Luchos of Bezalel will be located. Correct, and we'll lo avdim in olam. Right now, it's just in a state of gnuza. So gnuza, therefore, there's no responsibility here to build the aron. What are you going to tell me? It might get lost. It might get broken. No, we know that that's not going to happen. The original aron of Bezalel with the luchos is going to be found again. Will be revealed, and therefore, ein mitzias ba'olam. There's never a situation that will arise in the physical universe, in the history of time, in the history of Klal Yisrael, Shenasa Aron Acheres, that will replace the original Aron. So you can't count the mitzvah when it has no practical obligation. The obligation could never, in fact, obligate you. The Ramban is not like the Megillus Esther. The Ramban is saying, and this was the Minchas Chinuch's point, that if the Torah gives us a mitzvah, it has to be counted. You know, it could be that the conditions will or will not be fulfilled, and it could even be that there'll never ever be a need for that mitzvah, you know, to implement it. But nevertheless, it's a mitzvah, and we're obligated to it. So where the Minchas Chinuch points out that the theoretical possibility that we'd have to build an Aron is enough. Again, the Minchas Chinuch is not focused on the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs, he's focused on the Rambam Mishneh Torah, but the Rambam Mishneh Torah should have codified all the requirements and the details about building the Aron. Maybe there's a divine guarantee that we'll never have to build the Aron. Well, that's not really so. First of all, it's not so because there was a period of time, as the Minchas Chinuch points out, during the rulership of Eli was the Kohen Gadol, that they didn't have access to the Aron. And therefore, there would be a mitzvah building the Aron. And not only that, the Torah is not formulated in the way of Nisan. And the Ramban, with the same kind of flavor as the Minchas Chinuch, obviously many, many centuries before the Minchas Chinuch, he was focused on the fact that the Rambam was guilty of omitting the mitzvah of building the aron from the tariyak, and that mitzvah justifies itself. Comes along with Gilles Esten and says, you know what? There's no time, and there's no point in the history of time where we'll actually have an obligation befall to build the aron. The question is, are we impressed by that logic? Obviously, the Ramban is not, and the Minchas Chinuch also is not. Okay. So we have these questions, and now we have another question to add to the list. And that's what we call kfeilut. You know, sometimes the Torah is unnecessarily superfluous, and it repeats something that it's already said. In the case of the mitzvah of placing the Eidus into the Aron, we have within the context of four psukim a repetition of this mitzvah. So we're in Parashas Truma Chaf Hei, now we're in Pelsuk Tes Zayin, and there it says, V'nasata el ha'aron, eis ha'edus asher etev elecha. So you have to place the Eidus into the Aron. And then you fast forward to Pasuk Chaf Aleph, a few psukim later, and it says, V'nasata, etc., etc., V'el ha'aron titein es ha'edus. Exactly word for word what we had before. And Rashi is baffled by this. Rashi says, Lo yadati loma nichpal. Sharei kfar nemar. Rashi is commenting on the later pasuk. He says, kfar nemar in the earlier pasuk tezayin, v'nasata el ha'aron es ha'edus. So Rashi has a shtickle Torah here. A ganza chiddush of Rashi. And all this is based on the fact that Lo Yadati, Rashi says, I can't figure it out why the Torah would repeat itself. The Torah is very stingy on ink. And it sounds like Lo Yadati means I heard nothing, I got no answers from my Rebbeim, so I'm going to have to say step up to the plate and say my own answer. And here Rashi declares the following Chakira. When do you put the Kapores on top of the Aron? And Rashi says, depends how you view the Kaporis. If the Kaporis is serving for the Luchos Eidus, then the Luchos Eidus have to be in the Aron when you put on the Kaporis. But if the Kaporis is serving the Aron, then there's a mitzvah to build an Aron, put the Kaporis on top of the Aron, and then put the Luchos in. In other words, if he hasn't yet placed the Luchos Eidus into the Aron, the low kaporah. So what does he have in front of him? He has just the aron. He's now, what's the sequence? Yitein tchila ha'edus l'tofu. The first thing he has to do before he puts on the kaporah is to put the edus into the aron. Le'achar kach, only afterwards, yitein es ha'kaporah olah. Okay, so this is going to be that second pasuk, chaf al, if you read it carefully. The sequence here is the following. But what is the aron? Okay, when you have to put the kaporos on top of the aron, that's going to be the covering over the aron, milamala. But what is the aron? So the Torah says, be careful. El aron titein es ha'edus. Rashi says, first and foremost, you got to put the edus into the aron, and then now that you have the aron, then is a mitzvah of placing the kaporos on top of the aron. V'chei matzinuk shehikim es ha-mishkan. I'll prove it to you from the psukim in Parshas Pekudei. And what does it say in Parshas Pekudei? There it says that Moshe Rabbeinu erected the mishkan, and it says vayitein es ha-edus el aron. First he put the edus, and then it says vayitein es ha-kaporos al aron milmal. So the Gerari says, lo yadati loma lo yada. This is the Maral. He probably doesn't understand how Rashi could have said lo yadati. Now, in order to appreciate this Gerari, we have to evoke a very famous principle in Kodshim. And it's a sugya in what's called Pesach Sheni in Psachim, that whenever the Torah repeats itself in Kodshim, it's coming to tell you it's likuva. That means if you only get the mitzvah once, then that's l'chatkila, but it's not indispensable. How do I know if it's indispensable and it invalidates if you're missing it? Only the Torah repeats itself. L'fi daiti inyan gadol yesh l'uma. It was very important for the Torah to repeat itself. Why the yeh ha'edus ma'akvim es ha'aron? This is going to teach us that there's no aron without edus. There's no Aron without Eidus. Wow. This is really sharp. Let me just, if you don't mind, Rabosa, I'm just going to enjoy those words here. I want to suck them and get the juice out of them. He says, Ha'edus ma'akvim, sheyu ha'edus ma'akvim es ha'aron. If you could turn back for a moment to page 1, do you remember that the Torah spoke about the badim, attaching the badim to the aron twice? Once with regard to Bezalel, and once with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu. So take a look at, again, number 4 on your page. In Parshas Vayakel, it says, the Torah testifies that it was Bezalel Vayoves Abadim Etabos L'Se'or, correct? Now how then could it be, if we fast forward to Parshas Pekudei, that the Torah is describing Moshe Rabbeinu Vayitein Esa Edus El Aron? How could that be?
It hadn't been repeated yet.
No, what I meant is, I'm not sure what you're saying, Joel. What I'm saying is, how can it be that Moshe put the badim in, Vayosim es habadim al aron? The only physical possibility of that happening is if they remove the badim from the arm, because they were already attached by Bezalel, and that's a violation of Lo Yosir.
But since it hadn't been repeated, maybe there wasn't an Isser in Joseph, it's not Ma'akav.
Well, again, we're assuming that in between the first and the second, the Isser was formulated.
Right.
Again, if you don't mind, I don't have the time now to go through the Pesukim, Mitch, if you don't mind. Well, wait a second. The twice is in Parshas Truma. Let's not confuse ourselves. There's Truma.
Yeah.
Then leave out Tetzaveh, and then there's Vayakel and Pekudei. So it was the Torah repeated the mitzvah of putting the Eidus into the Aron twice in Parshas Truma.
Okay.
Right. So now we get to Parshas Vayakel, and let's focus on the Badim. Bezalel puts the Badim and attaches them to the Aron, into the Tabaos and all that. And then in Parshas Pekudei, Moshe Rabbeinu is doing the same thing. How could that be unless you remove the badim? But we have an Iser of Lo Yosir. But if you take this Gur Aryeh, that he says that, you know, not every Aron is an Aron. Which Aron is the Aron? Only with the Eidus. So if you're talking about Parshas Vayakel, right, there's no mention of the Eidus in Parshas Vayakel, correct? All that the Pesukim describe in Parshas Vayakel is Bezalel constructing the Aron. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it, Mitch? Pasuk Mem Tesvot. Yeah. So that's very good. So way back in Parshas Truma, the Torah says, Lo Yosir Vimenu, Lo Yosir Vimenu. Is Memela, how did they remove the Badim from the Aron in between Bezalel and Moshe, meaning between Parshas Vayakel and Parshas Pekudei? The answer could be because Bezalel never put the Luchos into the Aron. And if he didn't put the Luchos in the Aron, then the absence of the Luchos, of the Eidus, is Likuva, says the Maral. If it's Likuva, it means it's not yet an Aron. So Memela, this Isur Lav of Lo Yosuru would only be Chal in Parshas Pekudei, because the Torah testifies in Parshas Pekudei in Pasuk Chaf, Vayikach Vayitein Es HaEidus El Aron. So who is the one who actually placed the Eidus into the Aron? None other than Moshe. Oh, it says Bezalel did it? Mitch is a Balkor, so I can't mess with Mitch. You know, I'm looking at the Pasuk in Parshas Pekudei, which is referring to Moshe, I mean, when it says Vayikach Vayitein Es HaEidus. So I don't know. Again, Mitch, if you have a chance to go through you can do it in your mind. You don't even need the chumash. But
no.
But if I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on this. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who put the Eidus into the Luchos, and that's the first time the Eidus went into the Luchos. So when was the Lav of Lo Yisru Chal? Because that Lav is an Iser on the Aron, vis-a-vis the Aron, meaning that you're not allowed to take the badim and detach them from the Aron. Question of Muktzah, if you detach them, right? But the answer is that that's only on an Aron. But the question is, when is the Aron an Aron? And the Maral Mipraga is saying that the Aron is only an Aron when it's got the edus in it. So there was no iser of removing the badin. And he says shimlo kosav, which means if the Torah hadn't repeated itself here in Parshas Truma, Havamina would have said that im ein edus, even if you did not fulfill the mitzvah of ele aron titenesa edus, is nevertheless ye aron. It's not miakiv, because what the Torah tells you in the laws of Beis Hamikdash once is not miakiv. It's only lechatchila, right? The mitzvah min amuvchar. For example, you take a look at the choshen. So the Torah is going to tell us at the end of Sefer Shmos, really going to the choshen satus of Ela Choshen, Esa Urim V'tumim. So inside the breastplate there was the Urim V'tumim that was inserted. And in Bayis Sheni we saw the Gemara in Yuma that says that there was a choshen, but there was no Urim V'tumim. How could you have a choshen without the Urim V'tumim? The Torah says V'nasata Ela Choshen. Is the answer is because the Torah only said it once. And the Torah only commanded you on one occasion to place the Urim V'tumim into the Choshen. The Choshen could exist independent of the Urim V'tumim. That's what in fact happened at during Bayis Sheni. It's Hachanami if we apply the same principle to the case of the Aron, that you have to put the Luchos into the Aron. Is Yasa Aron Kvod L'Shechina, even without the Luchos, we have a separate independent mitzvah L'Kvod Hashem of building the Aron. Therefore the Torah had to repeat itself in Asato El Ha'aron Esa Edus, and that's the principle of Shino Lavakos, whenever the Torah repeats itself in Kodshim, it's Likuvo Shelo Ye'aron Emein Edus. I'm going to underline it again. He repeats himself, Lo Ye'aron Emein, I would add the word Shav, Emein Shav Edus. V'bayis Sheni Shelo Hoya Ha'edus. The Gemara says that the Luchos were lost after Bayis Rishon, and we didn't have it in Bayis Sheni. Is Lekachlo Asu Es Ha'aron. Beautiful. Now he comes to answer the original question of the Rashash. What was the Rashash's Kasha? Why was there no mitzvah to build the Aron during Bayis Sheni? The Gemara says in Yuma that there was no Aron during Bayis Sheni. Okay, I grant you there were no luchos, but there's still an independent mitzvah of building the Aron. Zokta Maral, no. There would be no mitzvah to build the Aron, because in the absence of Edus, it's not an Aron. But Choshen, that they had during Bayis Sheni. And the Kohen Gadol wore the Choshen. Why did he wear the Choshen if he didn't have the Urim V'Tumim? The answer is lo shina kosev likuva. Here the Torah repeats the mitzvah and the command of putting the Edus into the Aron, to tell you that the Aron without the Edus is not an Aron. If you take a look at the Meshech Chochma, Hine kol hakelim osu b'mikdasheni levad Aron, and why? Why didn't they build an Aron during Bayis Sheni? He says, Ki aluchos nignezu, v'aluchos ma'akvim ha'aron, the same Yisod that we saw in the Maral. And the Meshech Chochma came to this conclusion on his own, Shina Kosev Liakev. And therefore, the Torah had to repeat this. And it's not an Aron until they put the Edus in. And this is what the Brisker Rav says, you'll see in the Shaila Torah, he quotes the Brisker Rav. And Rashi says that, why did the Torah have to repeat this mitzvah, putting the Edus into the Aron? So Rashi says, to make sure that first you would place the Edus before you put the Kaparis on top of the Aron. Says the Brisker Rav, you know why it's important, why is this Seder so crucial? That and the reason is because Aron, as far as all the Kalim, is very different. In the case of the Shulchan, the purpose of building the Shulchan is for the Lechem Aponim. In the case of all the Kalim, it was for the... But Aron, lo ishu mitzvah basiyoso kim shenasa b'shvil aluchos. He says that you can never argue with regard to the Aron that there's a mitzvah building the Aron if there are no luchos. And therefore in Bayis Sheni, that they didn't have luchos, there was no mitzvah building the Aron. And therefore Rashi says that the mitzvah of putting the kaparis on top of the Aron would only be valid when you have an Aron. But until you put the luchos, in the Brisker language he says, Lachein ha-yatzarech, in the last paragraph, Laseis betocho, to put the Edus first, and then you can put on the kapores on top because you need an aron. There's no mitzvah to put a kapores over a physical box which is not an aron. And now again, there's a whole drush over here, the Avnei Shom, which we can skip because we're running out of time. But if you take a look quickly on page 3, he says, in the name of Rabbi Yonasan Sachs, that below Luchos, Eino Nechshav Aron. Okay, that's a nice chiddush, but we saw this 5 centuries ago in the Maharal Prague, 2 centuries, a century ago in the Meshech Chachma. And basically, this chiddush is that of the Brisker Rav. In Cain v'Vayakel, in Parshas Vayakel, which is before Moshe Rabbeinu put the Luchos into the Aron was like the Shulchan of Mizbeach. It didn't have any special dinim, it didn't have the status of an Aron before they put the Luchos in. Moshe put the Luchos in Parshas Pekudei. Is therefore there's no Yisur v'Asaras HaBadim. So Enochinami, the purpose of the Badim was simply to carry the Aron. So when Bezalel wanted to carry the Aron from one place to the other, and bring it to Moshe Rabbeinu to put the Luchos in, so he put the Badim again and attached it to the Aron. But after that, there was no status of Aron, and therefore no special Isur of Hasaras HaBadim. The Isur of Hasaras HaBadim is only in Parshas Pekudei after Moshe Rabbeinu put the Luchos into the Aron, then is an Isur of Hasaras HaBadim. Okay, there's another Chiddush here from Rav Asher Zelig Weiss. I see it's late. Do we have 2 minutes? Can we stoop it in? And Rav Asher Zelig wants to mechadish that there are 2 dinim in the Aron. There's the Aron Ha'edus Sheyeshbo Luchos, and there the Aron only functions and has the status of an Aron insofar as it houses the or hosts the Luchos, but there's another status of the Aron independent of the Luchos. Who echad miklei mishkan? There's an independent status of the Aron as one or the other of the klei mishkan, which is not dependent upon the Luchos. And therefore, take a look at the Aron. The Aron had three sections to it, 3 boxes, one inside the other. Ha'aron emtsai, the middle one, was made purely of what? Of atzei ashitim. Hu chelek Sheba Aron Shahaya Habayis, and the purpose of it was for the Luchos Ha'edus. And he has a riot from Parshas Ekev. What does it say in Parshas Ekev? That's number 21 on your page. It says that Moshe made the Aron of Eitz for the purpose of the Luchos. Do you see that in the pasuk? It says, "Vayisahi, Amar Hashem elai psolucha shnei luchos havonim kareishonim," and it says, "Vayasisulucha Aaron eitz." Now, what does it mean, Aaron eitz? The Aaron was made not only of eitz, but it was also made of zav. The answer is that the middle box that actually housed in close proximity the luchos eitz was made of eitz. That's the first dimension of the Aaron, in which the Aaron is only secondary and facilitates the luchos habris. And he says that there, in that case, the Arna Pnimi. Okay, now we have 2 other boxes that surround the eights. We have the Arna Pnimi Vachitzoni. They were made of Zav, and that was a chelik of the Aron Sheyesh Tzara Shavu L'Shar Kleam Mishkan. In other words, here we can subsume the status of the second and third parts of the Aron as Kleam Mishkan. In general, if he say Yotzik min Chomer to be Aron Atzei Shitim, if you take a look at the parasha in Truma, it says Viasu, and we had a question: why is it in plural? And then it says Vitzipisa in singular. The Viasu, that represents the Luchos, because that's the inner Aron which serves for the Luchos. The Luchos represents what, Rabosai? Torah, and Torah is for everybody, so it has to be Viasu in plural. But then it says Vitzipisa Osav Zav, that's already the Aron as a clay Migdash. That's not the responsibility of all of Klal Yisrael. That's the unique responsibility of Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore it's written in Lashon Yochid. This will answer Akasha the Rashash and Yuma about what we asked initially in the name of the Rashash. Why is it that they didn't build the Aron in Bais Sheni? Apparently that the mitzvah building the Aron is to house the Luchos. Then there is another mitzvah to create the Aron as far as the Kelim, and that's with the Vitzipisos of. Okay, we'll stop here.